considering how awesome and wonderful it is that we gather here this morning to honor and praise the God of heaven, to dwell upon the word that He has delivered to us so that we might learn better how to serve and please Him in this life, so that we can be with Him for all eternity. It should put upon us a desire to be careful and considered and reverent in those things that we do as we offer to Him worship and praise and honor. We appreciate each one who is here and encourage you to give close attention, not just to the lesson that I'm about to present, and I think it's an important lesson for us to consider, but also the things that we've considered as we've sung the songs of praise. The lesson for this morning is one that is not a popular topic. It is not something that any of us really want to think about very much, but it's something that we have to keep in mind, something that we have to consider, because while we might spend a lot of time talking about our need to put our focus on eternity and our hope that is in heaven, we also need to be reminded that just as there is a heaven that is going to last for all eternity, there is a hell. We want to consider this morning some things regarding hell. Of course, when we start talking about hell, we look at the Scriptures and we find that there are, depending on what translation you read from, what version you find, sometimes a number of different terms used. Sometimes it is a difficult thing to determine exactly what's being talked about. And we need to give attention to those things. Probably the closest description we have to life after death is what we find in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The story there that where the rich man is in Hades and Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom and they are awaiting the judgment. And when we think about hell, certainly there are some names that come to mind. The word Hades certainly comes to mind as it is used in many of the translations, and it is simply a place of departed spirits. And in fact, that is the place that is discussed or talked about in that message, the story about the rich man and Lazarus. It's where all departed spirits go. It's where everyone goes once they pass from this life to await the day of judgment. And that is a place that is obviously, from that story we understand, divided between those that are headed to heaven and those that are headed to hell. Those that are receiving blessings and those that are receiving punishment. The term hell, or Gehenna, as the Jews referred to it, certainly we understand it had a reference to a physical place. It was basically a garbage dump, where they dumped whatever, and there was continually a fire burning there, and so it was used as an example. But what we're talking about here is the final place of punishment when we talk about hell, and that's what we want to concentrate our efforts on this morning as we consider what the Word of God has to say. Certainly, there is the idea of paradise that is made mention of, the place in Hades where the righteous await judgment. It's referred to as Abraham's bosom in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And then, of course, there's also the word Tartarus you may have heard in reference to this. And what we have here is simply a Greek equivalent to Gehenna. It's the Greek term for the final resting place, the final punishment place of those who are wicked. When we talk about hell, we need to understand that it is the place that is set aside for those who are to be punished. And as such, those who end up in hell are deprived of their eternal well-being. They are not deprived of their being. They are still in existence in some form. But they are deprived of their well-being. Certainly we recognize through reading through the pages of Scripture that the soul is eternal. And as such, it will dwell in either heaven or hell. Those who are dwelling in hell have lost the blessedness that comes from being in the presence of God. We look to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Or in the first letter to the Thessalonian brethren in chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3, now as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night while they're saying peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. When we talk about those who are going to be in hell, when we talk about hell, we're talking about a place of destruction. A place of being separated from all of the things that we think of as being blessed in this life. We read in Scripture where all spiritual blessings and all good things come from God. We'll be separated from all of those things if we find ourselves in hell. The term destroy is used to be given over to eternal misery. In James chapter 4 and verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Certainly a different teaching there in regards to our carefulness in judging others, but it speaks of God as the judge being the one who is able to destroy. But we need to understand that this term destroy is not a one and done sort of thing. It is a continual thing. It is an eternal misery and separation and destruction. Jesus told His listeners in the book of Matthew chapter 10, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And once again, understand, this is not a destruction and it's over with, but it is a continual destruction. We have a hard time grasping that thought because when we destroy something, it's gone. It's over with. We don't have it anymore. But what we're talking about here is an eternal destruction, separation from those things that are blessed in life, a continual punishment. In some of our English translations, we may find the word perdition or we may find the word destruction again. And once again, it's this idea of destroy that God can give. We will suffer for all eternity. In Matthew chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, "Many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." Or as the Hebrew writer renders in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, "We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." In Romans chapter 9 and verse 22, "What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" All of these terms that we read throughout Scripture talking about this destruction or destroy, this idea of punishment is an eternal sort of thing, a continual destroying and separating. And it is assigned to a certain group of people for how they've conducted themselves here upon the face of the earth. There are two fates, heaven or hell. And hell is the place of punishment. Oftentimes when we read through the Scripture about hell or we read about punishment in general, we find terms that would indicate to us that there are some degrees of punishment. One such place is in Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, Jesus giving a parable there, and He talks about the slave that knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in according with his will. He'll have many lashes, but the one who did not know and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive few. From everyone who's been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask the more. Or as we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 again, in verse 29, how much severer punishment do you think you were to deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? In these two passages, we see a semblance of the more you're responsible for and ignore, the more punishment you receive. Or, as we have there in the book of Hebrews, those under the old law suffered a certain punishment for ignoring the old law of Moses. How much sorer or more severe will the punishment be for those who ignore the law of Christ? Ignore the sacrifice that Christ made. I cannot tell you whether there will be degrees of punishment in hell. I can tell you that based on my study of Scripture, it seems to me that the one that knew to do right and finds himself in that place is going to suffer more than someone that never knew to do right to begin with. I'm reminded again of the statement that Peter made in his epistle about the one who was a child of God and turned his back upon God, being in a worse state then than he had been before he knew the word of truth. Why? Well, have you ever had a hold to something that you dreamed of and that you wanted, and then you lost it? You feel a little different about that thing after you had a hold of it and you lost it than you did before you even got it. In that sense, maybe there is a difference in punishment, but the punishment for everyone who finds themselves in hell is the same. It is an eternal destruction, an eternal fire. And fire is used in several places to describe the punishment that is to be found in hell. And my personal thought is the reason we see fire made reference to so much, not just because it's going to be a burning, but because fire is such a universal fear.
Amen.
There are very few people that are not afraid or concerned about fire.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like fire. I respect fire. I enjoy fire.
Yes, sir.
You know, it does a lot of good things here on this earth. But I don't want to get caught in fire.
Amen.
I don't want to find myself in the midst of fire. And as such, it is a very powerful image of the punishment that God is talking about. An eternal fire. In Matthew chapter 13, the Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In chapter 18, if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands and feet and be cast into the eternal fire.
Amen.
The book of Revelation speaks in Revelation 19, 20, and 21 regarding these things. He says in chapter 19 and verse 20, the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. In the next chapter, in verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet also are. And they will be tormented day and night forever. In verse 8 of chapter 21, for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we read these verses to emphasize the description of punishment of hell as being a fire, an eternal furnace of fire, something from which no one can escape.
Now, I've been burned a time or two, but after a little while it went away.
Amen.
depending on how severe the burn, as to how long it took to heal and overcome it. But I don't want to think about being in a fire for all eternity.
Amen.
And that's the kind of place hell is described as. An eternal fire prepared for those who are against God. Read what Mark records for us in Mark chapter 9. It's similar to some of the things we've already read, but beginning in verse 42 of Mark chapter 9, whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if, with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he'd been cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble and cut it off, it is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Three times in that passage. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We need to be aware and wary of the punishment that awaits in hell. We need to recognize that hell and being cast into hell is a retribution for our actions here on this earth. In fact, some translations even use the term vengeance in reference to God's attitude toward casting us into hell. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution or vengeance to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Or as Jude renders in verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Way back there in Genesis in the days of Abraham and of Lot, how the angels came and brought Lot and his daughters and his wife out. Because God rained fire down upon Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
And they are no more. They were destroyed because of their wickedness. Jude equates that to this eternal punishment. Look at what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah if you want to understand a little bit about what God's going to do to those that are immoral and wicked today. Also, this is the vengeance of God being poured out upon those who do not know Him or those who do not obey His Word.
Amen.
Well, think about that for a minute. That means there's some people that know God that are going to be cast into hell.
Amen.
Because even though they knew Him, they did not give themselves over to obey Him. Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, is one of the images that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 22. And in chapter 23, in giving a rebuke there in verse 33, Jesus says, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence or damnation of hell? It is everlasting." As we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, eternal destruction.
Amen.
Or Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. We need to understand that We who are Christians, we focus on heaven and we put our hopes in heaven and we put our treasures with God so that we can go to be with Him in heaven. But understand that that heaven that we desire, that's going to last for all eternity, there's also a hell.
Amen.
That will last just as long.
Oh, yes, sir. Amen.
And we determine which one we're in by how we live on this life. Because hell is ready and waiting.
Amen.
It was prepared beforehand for Satan and for his followers, as we've made reference in some of the readings from the book of Revelation. But understand that that same place that is set in place and prepared for Satan and his followers is also the eternal destination of those who refuse to follow the will of God.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, the Apostle Paul says, "The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God."
Amen.
If you don't inherit the kingdom of God, what are you going to inherit for all eternity? The burning fires of hell.
Amen. Amen.
Does Paul say here that only those who are the most wicked of the wicked are going to end up there and lose out heaven? No. Disputes and dissensions? Envy? Strife? Outburst of anger? People who allow those things to be in their life will be cast out of the heaven, the heavenly kingdom. Look again at Revelation 21 and verse 8. "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars," not some liars, not big liars, all liars, "their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. In fact, verse 15 of Revelation chapter 20 tells us that if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus will receive the penalty of eternal destruction.
Amen.
They will be cast into hell.
Amen.
Jesus will send His angels and they will gather out of His kingdom all those who are stumbling blocks, all those who commit lawlessness, and they will be cast into hell.
Amen.
The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, we did not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles,' and I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Lord, didn't we do a lot of things for you?
Amen.
Maybe, but you didn't do them in my name.
Amen.
You didn't submit to the will of my Father.
Amen.
And therefore you'll be cast out. Matthew chapter 7. We can avoid hell by making sure we don't fall into any of those categories, by making sure that we are righteous. In Matthew 13 and verse 43, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We can be like those Corinthian brethren who may have been in some of these things, but we've cleansed ourselves and we've kept ourselves clean such.
Amen.
Said we're able to enter into heaven by being obedient to the will of the Lord. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Amen.
For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going.
Amen.
John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, certainly Jesus is giving instruction to His apostles in particular. But He talks about a place that's prepared. Hell has been prepared for Satan and for his followers. Heaven has been prepared for the righteous.
Amen.
Hell is a terrible place of eternal destruction, described as a never-ending, unquenchable fire. And heaven is a place of great blessedness.
Amen.
A place where we can be in the presence of God Himself, and we can dwell around that throne. But how we live today determines where we will be for eternity. The righteous will enter heaven. Anything less than righteousness, according to the will of God, will cast us into hell. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And Jesus sent the letter to the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. He said, "You have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." We need to do everything we can within our power to keep from being cast into hell. And that means we need to be righteous. We need to live in accordance to the will of God. God has bestowed upon us great blessings such that we can be called the children of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Behold, now we are children of God, and it's not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself as He is pure. John tells us we really don't know what kind of being we will have in eternity. We're told we'll be in the likeness of God. We'll be in the likeness of Christ. We will have a new body, an imperishable body. One that will not fade away, will never end. And certainly our spirit will be there in eternity.
Amen.
And that being will exist forever.
Amen.
In either heaven or hell.
Amen.
God has given us everything we need to know in order to be children of God, as John tells us there. It begins that letter, as we read just a moment ago, by telling us that to be in fellowship with God, to be His children, we have to walk in the light as He is in the light.
Amen.
We have to give our lives over to serve Him. There are Christians, when they first heard the message of Jesus Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary, before they submitted their life to the Lord, they cried out to Peter and the apostles and said, "Men, brother, what do we do?" Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul, who saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, who realized his wrongs and said, I
know whether he actually said it or not. I don't know. He certainly changed his way.
Amen.
Spent 3 days praying. And then was told by Ananias, who came at the urging of God, to rise and be baptized.
Amen.
And was called in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If we want to be a child of God, we've got to be added to the family of God.
Amen.
We've got to put on Christ. We've
got
to put
death
the old man and rise up and
amen.
Then we can go to be in heaven.
Amen.
If we do the will of the Lord.
Amen.
Not everyone who says the will of the Lord, but those who do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Submit themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who are washed, who are sanctified, who are cleansed.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of God.
Amen.
What else do you need your heart this morning?
Amen.
Hell is not a thing you like to think about. It's not a pleasant topic.
Oh, no.
Studying hell is something that we need to do from time to time.
Amen.
To remind us of the consequences of not keeping ourselves whole inside of God.
Amen.
If you find this morning there's something amiss in your life, you're not a child of God and you're ready to become one. If you are a child of God and you find that you have turned away from the Lord, you've not kept yourself cleansed and holy in His sight, then you correct that.
Amen.
The congregation can assist you.
Mm-hmm.
This song we're about to sing, prepare to meet your God.
Amen.
Are you ready? Stand before Him in judgment? If not, we can assist. Get things right in the Lord. Lord, stand and say,
amen. Pray.